I want to jump right into why we're here, and I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give you a story, a quick story. I've been reading a book talking about, if you get around me long enough, you'll know that I love anything to do with leadership, anything to do with business, anything to do with relationships. Those three things are kind of my big push. Kind of God put it in my heart a long time ago that really the latter thing that I said there, the relationships are the way to make all of the other things work in your life. I'm a firm believer in that. And I think sometimes we don't value relationships enough. So when we have issues in life or we have things in life that aren't going our way, sometimes we feel that missing ingredient, and sometimes I believe the success that you want to have in your life is based on the relationships you build in your life. And I think all of us are here today because either you're here because you love God, but I think even more than that, probably there's somebody here that you're connected to, and somebody's invited you, or somebody once invited you, and you became a part, and they became friends, and you became something where you said, Harvest Church is my church. If you've been here any length of time, or if you're visiting today, I pray you are looking for a good church. You know, give us an opportunity. And I believe God brought you here for a reason, and not just because you have a friend with you, but because I think God has a purpose for why you're here. But before we jump into Friend Day, today is Super Bowl Sunday. How many of you plan to watch the Super Bowl this year, even though it's a repeat somewhat, right? How many of you choose you're going to not watch because you're tired of seeing the one goat? All right, listen. There's a part of me that wants Tom Brady to win because it's the only part is the guy that's over 40 in me, because he gives hope to all of us who are old and cannot do it anymore, that we could, right? And I sit at my house and I think about how good I could do it better than they can do it, right? I promise you, I'm as good as they are, if not better, sitting in my recliner. So, how many of you are pulling for the Patriots today? Raise your hand really high. Losers. How many of you want anybody else to win besides the Patriots? How many of you don't care? How many hope that both teams loses? I understand. I've got a son who really loves the Patriots, loves everything to do with Boston. And so that'll be a confliction in our home today. So, but today is Super Bowl Sunday. And it's really for me, it's a Super Sunday because I get to focus on what my heart is, and that's relationships and building relationships. And in doing so, I've been reading this book, and in the book, it's talking about business. It's talking and things that's really close to my heart. It's talking about how leadership and business, how they're built on establishing relationships, how everybody on the planet needs to connect to somebody. And when we connect to somebody, that those areas that are shortfalls in our life actually begin to increase. So there are things every person in here is gifted with, right? I always believe you're a 10 at some area in your life, right? You could probably find an area where you go, man, I'm really good at this. And not to brag, but in humility, you could say, hey, I actually do this well. It may be leadership. It may be that you're organizational. It may be administrative. It may be something that's not that. It may be much more some of you that are decorating and you're a great cook or you're this or that. But you have some gifting. And then there's other areas where all of us have areas where we're like, man, I really suck at that. And I mean, I don't mean, you know, it's bad. It's like terrible. And those are areas where I always am trying to say, okay, God, reveal to me so I can get better, right? We always want to get better at the areas we're not quite as good. Okay, maybe I'm the only one who want to get better at that. So I sat down and start reading these things, and it's relationships are so important to the other areas of our life, and especially the areas where we want to see increase. So if you say to me, Pastor, I really want financial increase, there's a lot of ingredients that go into that, but one of them is that you need relationships. You do. And so as I was reading it, there was a story in it, and I found it kind of comical, and maybe some of you know this story, but I had never heard it before, and I thought, you know, since we're dealing with friendships and relationships, how to connect, how to get along, I thought this would be a good one to kind of pull out. It says, a woman in a hot air balloon realized she was lost. She reduced altitude, spotted a man below, she descended a bit more and shouted, excuse me, can you help me? I promised a friend I would meet him an hour ago, but I don't know where I'm at. And the man below replied, you're in a hot air balloon, hovering approximately 30 feet above the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north longitude, latitude, and between 59 and 60 degrees west longitude. She replies, you must be a technician or an engineer. I am, he replied. How did you know? Well, answered the balloonist, everything you just told me is probably technically correct, but I have no idea what to make of your information, and the fact is I'm still lost and you didn't help me at all. Frankly, you've not been much help at all. If anything, you've delayed my trip with your speech that you just gave. The man below responded, you must be in management. She says, I am. How did you know? Well, said the man, you don't know where you are or where you're going. You have risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You made a promise which you have no idea how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. The fact is, you are in exactly the same position you were in before we met. But now, somehow, it's my fault. I thought that was a good illustration of relationships at times. They're hard. They're tough. I've heard people say, and it was told to me when I married Dawana almost 27 years ago. Prior to getting married, somebody came to me and they said, I want you to remember, because I remember saying as a young 20-something year old, oh, I'm just going to have the perfect marriage. It's going to be, oh, we're not going to be like y'all. And this person replied to me, marriage at its best is hard, right? And then not only is marriage, but friendship. It's relationships, things that, have you ever been so close to somebody that you can kind of say things and you know what to say to push their buttons? Right? Maybe you did that on the way to church today, right? But really, relationships are probably the most important part of our lives. Some say that it's money or power or position, but usually none of those things are actually even possible without relationships and or friendships. If you own a business or run a business, management, you really can't make much money without having some sort of influence or building or connecting to some group of people. It's very true. You can't have power or be elected to office without having connection on some level with people. Somebody has to identify with your personality or maybe your cause or your direction in life. There's got to be a connection. And sometimes the enemy, I believe, is so desiring to destroy connection more than any other thing. I don't think the enemy wants to steal your money as much as he wants to steal your relationships. I don't think the enemy wants to steal even, watch this, I don't think the enemy even wants to steal your time with God. I think sometimes people say, oh, he's just stealing the time with God. He's just, I think the enemy wants to steal the relationship you have, not only with God, but with each other, with creating space, creating moments where we value the issue more than we value the friendship. Webster's defines friendship as one attached, I think I put it in the notes, to another by affection or esteem, or one that favors or promotes another, a highly favored companion. And I think that's probably a good description of friendship. And friendship comes in so many different forms. If you've never read some of the leadership books, they say there's actually three types of friendship. I did not put that in your notes, but there are three. Thank you. Three types of friendship that we have. There's surface friendship. And surface friendship is kind of like you go to the grocery store. You know the guy who checks you out. You kind of say hi, right, occasionally. It's the old neighbor that used to live beside, but you don't live beside anymore. But you kind of have that surface. I call it Facebook, personally. Those are more surface relationships. I know some of you love social media. That's just, for me, you know, when people, friend me from high school, I'm like, I can't even remember you. But it's that surface thing. The other is the structured friendships. It's that place you have to go. Like you, all of us, or many of us will go to work tomorrow, right? And you hang out with people at work, and that's kind of a structured friendship or relationship. And then the third one is that we have what we call solid or fulfilled relationships. And those are people who are true friends. Those are people that someone told me one time that that a true friend or a solid or fulfilled relationship is the person that you could call in the middle of the night, like at 3 a.m., right in the morning, and you could say, hey, I need you to help me bury a body. And they don't even respond with, what? They respond with, I got my shovel, I'm on my way. Right? Right? And when my daughter starts dating, I may be calling some of you. I don't know. You get my point. So, the idea is we get this idea that's a true friend, a real great friend to us. And I think there's some truth to that. I think there are three levels of friendship. I think there's some fringes, and I think there's some structure, and then I think there's some solid, fulfilled, and many of you have those, and many of you are that for me. But what is friendship? What is friend? And I think God is all about having friendships. I've said it before that those who are too busy for friendships usually struggle through life. Life gets hard when you don't have someone to talk to, someone to vent, right? Someone to rant, someone to know your weaknesses, your strengths, someone to hang out with. We've always valued friendships in some fashion because really it's a characteristic sewn into the blanket of our life by God. Actually, God put in your DNA when he created Adam. He's like, hey, it's not good for somebody to actually not have a help person, someone to walk beside them, someone to... Now, we always equate that to marriage, but I also equate that to friendship. I don't think that God was leaving one out of the other. And he's saying, hey, it's not good that we isolate. It's not good that we separate. It's good when we have common ground and we can connect. And we've always valued it. But the idea today is not only friendship with each other, but friendship with the Creator. Matthew 22, I don't think I put it in the notes. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40 says, there was a guy who came to Jesus and he said, hey, tell me what's the greatest commandment out of all the commandments? And Jesus replies with, hey, love God and then love people. And he goes on. He doesn't just finish it there, because we always want to finish it there. Yeah, God wants us to love him. God wants us to love each other, right? We always stop right there. Actually, Jesus says everything written in this book right here, everything, law and prophets, everything that's ever been written in here, you can hang those two commandments on that. It's more important than everything else written. in this book. That's what he's saying. Hang on all on the law and prophets, hang those two commands, those two statements, love God and love people. And I think that's important. And really, that's why I think we're here today, because many of us have this love for God, right? So we're here in the house of God where God said, I want you to get together. I want you to unify. I want you to corporately worship me and praise me. And I want you to show me that you love me. But out of showing me that you love me, that's great. But when you do something with one another, when you love one another, that will actually show others that you truly are the one who loves me. And that's really his thought. And so we come today and we're maybe inviting someone, or maybe someone came with us, and it's out of love and honor for that person. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness, and God called him a friend. He became or was called God's friend. There's no higher title. I want you to hear this. There's no higher title in the Bible than that, than friend of God. None. So I want to lay an idea this morning, and then I want to kind of give you some problems to it. And then I want to give you what the Bible talks about this morning, and we'll kind of get through this pretty quickly so we can all go eat some food, right? Yeah. You guys are responding like a... All right, you're already ready for food. So what more can be said? Isn't friendship... Here's the question. Isn't friendship more important than titles? Isn't friendship more important than power or income or position or education? I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name, and that's a great thing. I think education's important. But at the end of the day, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care, right? So we value that, friendship. Those are the things that are important on earth. But God is describing the father of our faith. He's like Abraham, who is the father of our faith, the founder of the covenant, says, he's my friend. He doesn't just say, hey, look at this Abraham. Man, he's a great leader. He's a great ability. He's great. He's a speaking ability. He's great. Faith, obviously, we see all that. But he says of Abraham, hey, he's a friend. He's a friend. That the value that God has on the word friend, it's the highest position you can have. Exodus 33:11 says, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friends. That's God's desire. Friendship's not only between you and him, but between you and others. Second greatest leader ever known, or let me say it like this, two of the greatest leaders probably. I always say Jesus being the first, but you take Abraham and Moses, two of the greatest leaders ever known to walk the earth, and they are both called friends of God. So my question today is, shouldn't we value that? Shouldn't we value that above the crisis or the issue or the gossip or the somebody said this or somebody did this or they lied or they took this or I gave them this and they didn't repay it? Shouldn't we value the friendship better than we value the issue? Well, Pastor, you just don't have my family. I know, you're right. But we all have families like that. I'm telling myself right here. Several years ago, there was my father-in-law is the worst to remind me of this. I love the guy, but some days I want to call some of you and say, "Hey, bring your shovel." I just had a glance at my wife, make sure we're still married. About 15, 20 years ago, one of our family members who was in a place where they don't let you out of had a broken out, escaped, and they were on a federal manhunt for this person. Right? His name was Randolph Dial. Every time my father-in-law comes to my house, he reminds me, "Have you spoken to Randolph lately?" I'm like, I can't even hold a straight face on this because it's not funny. I understand. But and so had ran off with the warden's wife. And you couldn't even make this up, man. This is the honest truth. And was gone for like several years. So it shows how smart we are in our family. Several years was on the run. They didn't catch him. He was only like 300 miles from where he escaped from and living for like 12 years. And they caught up with him. But he always comes to my house, remind me, oh my goodness, I'm like sweating up here because I'm telling this story. Reminding me, have you seen him? Have you talked to him? What's going on? I mean, he always brings that up. And I'm like, please, please, please. It's not a good memory of our family. So whenever you bring up your family, just remember, everybody in here has some family we don't want anybody else to know about. Right? Right? Because that first came up 20 years ago. You guys kindred up? No, I have no idea who that is. Just the same last name. One problem with relationships, one of the problems, is how often we get divided. Right? It is. God hates anything that destroys or divides relationships. Anything. So in Proverbs chapter 6, things that divide us, he gives us this idea of things that he hates because a lot of them divide things, and especially not just relationship against each other, but relationship with him. And he starts out with things like a proud look and a lying tongue. But the last one he says in that list, there's actually seven. He says, these six things does God hate. The seventh is an abomination, is how he words it. And the last thing on that list is, he says, that it's one who sows discord among friends or brethren. It's the person who says, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, you didn't? Well, let me tell you. Right? And I don't care. And people say, oh, yeah, God hates that. But I think, personally, you probably hate that as well. I hate that. Right? Whether it's true or it's not true, I don't like it when somebody goes out and starts saying things about me that puts me in a character in a light that isn't true. Right? I think it's one of the worst things. And the Bible says God actually hates it. So I know we always say, yeah, but it's not good to hate anything. Well, God hates somebody. It's not the person. It's that he hates that sowing of discord. That he's not against people. He's against that kind of relationship destroying or tearing down, division. We think about that. I think we're against that. We hate that. Because we take on the nature of our Father. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 talks about those who are whispering to each other and backbiting to each other. God hates those things that destroy community, that destroy friendship. And the wind of gossip and the whispering is one way to bring down even the strongest of relationships. And I'm just telling you that is the truth. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates even the best of friends. 2 Timothy 2:23 says, avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing they generate strife. So that's the second thing I think sometimes that divides us, is strife. Actually, James says, where you find strife, you find every evil work. Every evil work. The spirit of strife has destroyed so many friendships, so many relationships. And I think the point is that we do our best to avoid that. Because strife in our marriage, right, creates words that we never said we'd speak to one another. Strife in our friendship creates division where we thought we'd never have, that we'd never leave. Oh, we're tight. We're like this. Strife among family causes us never to see each other. Are you guys with me? I'm just giving you the problems real quick. We'll get to what the Bible teaches. Another part of friendship idea is that many lack friendships because of the wrong values, misplaced priorities, or fears are hurt. You could say it like this: many place the value on the wrong things and value the hurt and the fear more than the friend. I kind of made mention of that earlier, but this is probably one of my biggest pushes in relationships. When I talk about relationships, is that how often people take the idea that what somebody did, and instead of using forgiveness to overcome and make that thing stronger, and you say, well, Pastor, they just keep doing it. But what did the Bible say about how many times somebody does something against you? What do you do? And he wasn't giving a number. Yeah, but Pastor, I've already passed that 490 times, man. We're done. It's like 780, right? He was just using a number. He was saying, hey, not just 70 times 7, just this endless forgive, forgive, forgive. Because you can't, listen, holding unforgiveness and valuing the issue is not hurting the person, it's hurting you. It's keeping you in bondage, right? We've always heard that. We know that. So we pull back, right? We're on the wrong end of the gossip, the finger pointing, and now we pull back from friendship. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says, he or she that isolates themselves, right? So we think about isolation. And we think about the idea of being isolated from each other. And so we get isolated. The Bible says when we do that, we rage against what is wise. So you never, even though you have knowledge of what to do, right? Knowledge is the idea of, it's wisdom that will carry out knowledge. So he says he rages, that person rages against all wise judgment. Why? Because relationships are the only way that you'll overcome certain areas in your life. There are things that you view, there are things that are said to you, there are things that happen in your life that the only way to break those habits and the only way to break those addictions, even though we pray over that and we anoint that and we believe for your healing, the only way to get past it is when you get somebody around you that goes, you know what, I've been there. Let me tell you what God can do. Let me help you walk you through this. That's what God wanted us to be. And I think sometimes we isolate because we're embarrassed. We isolate because of fear, right? I'm going to say this. In my relationship with my wife, we're close. And just like many of you, but one of the things that we decided years ago was that I never want to share something with my wife. That even though if I share it, right? Many people say, I'm not going to share that with my closest friend. I'm not going to share that with that person because of the embarrassment or what their reaction will be. And I'm just going to tell you, if you're one of those people that if something was shared with you that was going, man, I cannot believe that's going on in their life, then you need to work on you first. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the things, if somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I'm really struggling with this. I actually did this and nobody knows it. I'm just going to tell you how I'd react. And my reaction is, I don't condemn you, man. I don't. You know why? Because we're to take on the nature of the one who saved us. And the Bible says he doesn't come and condemn us. He came to save us, to change us, right? I can't save you, but I can lead you to the one who can. Why? Listen, why would I ever, having failed so much in my life, why would I ever condemn somebody else? So I never, whenever we talk and something comes up that we didn't know or something happened or some failure happened, what we do is we look at each other and go, hey, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm there to the end. I don't care what happens, what goes on, what's this. Let's work on it together. That's holding accountable. That's friendship. What is not friendship is when we have fear because the fear that if we shared it or the fear that if we got close that person would hurt. You need to work on you. You do. And I'm just telling you that to me the greatest thing that ever happened in my life was the first thing was building my connection with God, building my relationship with Him. The second thing is when I learned that the relationship I have with other people is how it's going to push me forward. And some of you need to hear this. As we start this year, you need to get some forward thinking because you've been thinking so much in the rearview mirror and God's trying to get you to see in the future. And one of the things that He wants to do is build relationships in your life. So that's why small groups are important to you. It's because it'll launch you to the whole nother level in your life. But see, no matter how many times I share that, many of us will never jump on that boat. But I'm telling you, it will take you to a whole nother level in every area of your life. It will. It will. Thanks for that exciting response. All right, I was way off my notes. But is that okay? You guys are getting that, right? The reason why we build friendships, and there's a reason why we don't build friendships. You need to figure out which one. There's a reason why I build them, right? I don't build them so I can get something. I do it because what God does between me and a friend is the same thing He did between me and Him. He brought me into covenant. Right? That's why if I called up Tim and I said, hey, Tim, come over. I need this, or I need some help to do this or that, right? Then he normally, what he'll say is he'll say, hey, I can be right over. I can help you. Why? Because covenant is whatever I have becomes yours, and whatever you have becomes mine. In the sense of time, effort, energy. Why? Because we value each other. Now, it may not work in the schedule, and we say, hey, how about tomorrow or whatever, but that's friendship. And sometimes some of us don't have those things. And it's not because we haven't. People say, well, yeah, the Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. How about we don't have at times because we don't build towards it? We don't stick ourselves out there. And sometimes people say, yeah, but my heart was crushed. How are you ever going to know whether your heart won't be crushed if you don't keep putting it out there? Isn't he the healer of the heart, though? There we go. All right? But if we value God's values, we build intimacy, closeness with others. Now, the Bible says that our friendships can be defined. Friendships can define who we are. Let me say it like this. Our friendships define who we are. Goes on to, it's the idea of law of magnetism is this. Who you are is who you attract. If you've never heard that, that's actually, if you look it up, the law of magnetism is who you are is who you attract. So that's why I said a while ago, sometimes it's not a matter of everybody else changing to be. Sometimes it's you got to work on you. Are you with me? Yeah. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walks with wise people, going to be wise. But the companion of stupidity, right? If you look it up, that's what it means. Companion of fools, right? There's a taken away. Be destroyed. Now we try to love everyone. Right, we try to for the most part, but that doesn't mean that you have to be the companion to everybody. That's good. Right? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. Listen, if you sleep with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. Yep. Yep. It happens. Right? I own apartments. One of the things I tell people when I rent is to them, I say, hey, if you hang out with people with bed bugs, guess what they have? Guess what you bring home? Guess what I charge you for? All right. So let me give you four things real quick that the Bible says about friendship. And I'll do this real quickly so we can kind of move on. But number one is few friends are actually true friends. So Jesus had how many disciples? 12. How many best friends out of those disciples? There's like conflicting answers. What? Yeah. So who did he take up to the mountain? Peter, James, and John. You're exactly right. He said, hey, go with me and pray. He didn't select all 12 because not everybody could handle the vision that he was going to share. Matter of fact, his closest out of the three that some of you were talking about, his closest even couldn't handle it. Because he was saying, hey, I'm going to be delivered over. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die for every person's sin on the planet. And Peter's like, there ain't no way it's going to happen on my watch. Right? Because that's that kind of friendship. He couldn't understand the whole vision, though. So not all of our friends are true friends. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born out of adversity. So sometimes if you want to know who the closest friends are to you, I promise you when you're going through some tough times, those are the people around you. Those are. We should be a friend others can count on. When things are bad, when friends have done wrong in our eyes, don't cast them away. Let's be the friend that loves at all times. Proverbs 17:17. Friends love through all kinds of weather. That's another version of that. Don't be fair-weathered friends. Don't be that. Lifetime friends. Proverbs 18:24, friends come, friends go, but a true friend sticks by. You're like family. All right, here's the second one. Friends will speak truth to you. I know this is the hardest one for most of us. But I'm just going to tell you, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, somebody came to me the other day and said, Pastor, you really preached the word. I really appreciate that. And man, it sometimes steps on my toes. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to step on your toes. I don't. Just tuck them up underneath the chair, whatever you got to do. That's not my goal. My goal is to let the Holy Spirit do a work inside of all of us that we draw closer to Him. All right? And I understood what they were saying. But I also want to tell you the truth in love. Right? I don't want a friend that's... I always tell my kids, I'm not interested in being your buddy when they're little. I don't want to be your buddy. Right? I want to be their friend. Right? Because a friend will tell you the truth. And if, let me just tell you this. If you don't have a friend in your life that will tell you the truth, right? If you say, well, Pastor, I've been hanging out. We're just going off doing our thing, man, because we all do it. Like, you need to get a friend in your life that will kind of guide you with truth. Now, the one thing that we do as friends is we wrap truth in care or love, charity. And I think sometimes we forget that, right? I know I do. I'm probably the worst at it. Proverbs 27:6 says, the wounds from a friend are worth it. Wounds from a friend are worth it. Kisses from your enemy do you in. Yeah. A friend is an encourager. A friend helps you become better when you're down. A friend makes you feel better when all seems lost. A friend helps brighten the day when it seems dark. A friend makes you better even when it hurts. A friend does that. A true friend will care enough about you to share the truth with you. And let me add this, a friend will wrap their words in care so that love becomes evident. Here's a third one, friends refresh each other. Proverbs 27:9, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. You're in friendships, I'm in my friendships right now either. Let me say this before I jump to that. In your friendships and in my friendships, you're either one of two things. You're either plus or you're a minus. You're a plus or you're a minus. Say, oh, no, this is where we've always been. There are no neutral friendships. Remember, I said it last week, relationships don't stay where you left them. Either you're building or they're just decreasing. Think about your relationship with God. You say, Pastor, I haven't spent any time with God. I promise you, then your connection to God isn't where you left it. Well, that's good stuff. I know that we're all taking that in right now. But it's true. It's true. Friends refresh one another. It's either adding value or lifting higher levels or you're taking away. It's not neutral. And there's a lot of different types of personalities and friendships. How many of you have a difficult friend that you know of? You somebody is high maintenance. Anybody? Do not look next door to you. Right? Right, maybe they're saved, right? They're going to heaven. They're just not going soon enough. Just kidding. They're just like a difficult, you know. I can be this guy. Well, I told my daughter, I wrote down a list. And I just kind of changed some wording to kind of put it in my own thought of how these personalities. Some of you identify with this. You've got the critic, right, who's constantly complains to and gives unwanted advice, right? You ever met those people, right? Don't get ahead of me. The idea that they're constant, matter of fact, that you think they get paid to be critical, right? You think, man, that's your full-time job. The second one is the martyr, someone who's always the victim, right? Woe is me. Anybody ever met somebody like that? Got a friend like that? I have friends like that. The third one, a wet blanket. Kind of my own thought here. The pessimistic, automatically negative about everything, right? It's just incredibly, I can't believe it, right? The steamroller, I've been this guy, I'll admit. Right? I just run right over you because I'm getting to my goal. I'm insensitive. I got something going on. I don't care. We're going this place, right? Peter's cutting off people's ears. The steamroller, the gossip spreads rumors, leaks secrets. You don't tell them anything because you know what they're going to say, right? The control freak, unable to let go and let things and let people just be, right? Anybody have a friend like that? I got a friend like that. The backstabber, we don't even have to say too much about that. Two-faced, the cold shoulder. Please, everybody, eyes forward. Don't even look at your spouse. Disengages, avoids contact, right? We all have done this in our relationships, right? Where we just give a cold shoulder. The next one, the green-eyed monster. That's right, where you have somebody that's always envious of what you have. right? Or maybe, let's keep going. Is there another one? Yeah, the volcano builds steam, erupts very quickly. That's that personality. The next one is the sponge, constantly in need, but never gives anything back. All of you are like, oh, yeah, I know. You're thinking of a face right now in front of you, right? And then you've got the last one is the competitor, right? Which today in my home, most everybody will be keeping score of how many times Tom Brady is sacked and gets back up as a 41-year-old and gives all of us hope. But see, all of those are kind of personalities that we have in friendships. And sometimes those personalities cause us to blind ourselves to the true meaning of friendship. Now, let me just say this too. If you say, Pastor, I don't really have any friends like that, you may need to look inwardly. Right? Because that may be you. All right, here's the fourth one, and I'm going to close. Friends sharpen each other. They sharpen one another. They make each other better. They add value. They add value. And let me say this too. Friends don't care. They're not envious when you rise to a new level. They actually want to promote you there. That's true friendship. It is. Proverbs 27:17, we're all familiar with this. I put it in a different version. The Living Bible says, you use steel to sharpen steel. Same as one friend sharpens another. Now, out of all four of those things, there's not a one of us here that would say, I don't want a friend like that. All of us would say, I'd love to have a friend like that. That would stay true to me. Who would tell me the truth in love. Who would refresh me every day. Who adds value to my life on a daily basis. Who wants me to rise to another level. Who wants me to be better. Let me just close by saying there is a person. There is a person. I brought all this message to this one point. Because all of us say, man, wouldn't it be great to have a friend who, no matter what I did, he would stay right there beside me. He's a true friend. Or no matter what, that if I was going through a bad time, he would encourage me. He'd refresh me. That no matter what, that he would tell me the truth. No matter even if it hurt, because he wanted me to be all that I could be and he'd sharpen me. You know where I'm going. Jesus. The Bible says he's the friend like no other. That he wants all of that. That he wanted all of that for me. And I get emotional when I think about that because I've got a lot of friends and I've had a lot of friends all my life. But the one thing I never had was somebody who did all of those things together until I met him. And when I really met him, there's not a day goes by that he doesn't try to bring me to a higher level. Inject more of him in me. Tell me the truth about my life. And stay true to my friendship with him. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me. Just for a moment. See, to be honest, that's God's desire. I think he wants to be that for all of us. Yeah, he desires you to have friendship with others. But you're really here today because he wants to have friendship with you. With you. Above all. So I close this message with that thought. Are you one that is friends with God? Because he said there's no greater honor. James said that how much greater is it that he no longer calls us a slave or even a child, he calls us friends. No greater value. Friends. And so today, before we go, I'm asking that question. Are you and God friends? And friend means, do you have a relationship with Him? Are you in relationship with Him now? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. The Bible said that Jesus came to pay every debt that you owe. Pay for all the sins that you committed. And not only committed, but will commit. But one of the things you have to do is you have to acknowledge Him. You have to accept the gift. Or you can go on paying for your... People say, well, God wouldn't send people to hell. He doesn't send people to hell. Hell's just a place that you can pay for your own sin. If you choose to. But if you'll put your faith and trust into one, the friend, He'll eradicate the sin. He'll give you hope, grace, mercy, and love. And you put it in your heart. And you don't have to live on your own. You can have Him as your friend. In relationship with Him. So before we leave, I'm going to ask you that question. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? If your life was called today, what it was to end today, and I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just asking this question. If it was to end today, would you make heaven? If you're unsure about that, walk out of here today knowing. Even if you made a commitment to Christ years ago, but today you're far from Him, make a commitment to Him. That's why you're here. Not by accident. You're here on purpose. You say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to even embarrass you by anything. All I want you to do is say, Pastor, I want to commit my life to Christ. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. Why don't you slip your hand up, put it right back down that quick. Say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Thank you. I see your hand. I'm committing my life back to Him. Anybody else say, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Father, thank you for those that raised their hand today. It's out of friendship. It's out of relationship. We want what you have. It's out of relationship that you wanted us to have what you gave us. It's out of relationship that you even created the whole thing. That you could walk and talk with us in the garden and have fellowship. So Lord, it's out of relationship that you sent Jesus so that He could die, bring us back to that place where we have covenant back with you. So Lord, today, for those that raised their hand, I pray, God, let us make you the Lord of our life by simply saying, Jesus, I'm yours. Reconnect my friendship with you. I believe on you. I confess you as my friend, my Lord, my Savior. Do a work in my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me today. Thank you, Lord, for changing my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer or made a decision today, all I want to do is pray for you. One of the places on that card, if you have one, and you can write on there, hey, today I recommitted my life to Christ. I made things new. I made things real, and I'm in a relationship with Him. And because I want to pray for you. I do. I genuinely do every day this week. Because one of the greatest things the enemy tries to do is tear that thing down, to break it apart. And my prayer is going to be for you, that God will hold you strong to that commitment you're making, because He made a covenant with you. Amen. Amen. I want to take time to receive our offering this morning, give you an opportunity to give. If you're a guest here today, we don't want you and we don't expect you to give. We want you to receive. And in a moment, we're going to fellowship, and I'll kind of give you some instructions over that and as we're taking up the offering. But before we do that, today is also our Mission Sunday. I know some of us don't come prepared maybe because we don't have that in our mind right away. But if you did, you can write one check and earmark whatever it is to, or make it payable to missions. Everything we give today to missions goes straight to missions. We do. We don't hold anything back. And everything you give in tithe, and today we also give a tenth of that away to missions. And so I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for your giving, how you continue to bless Harvest Church. And how many of you noticed the new wall out there? We put the television up. You can kind of see some. That's our vision, right? I won't say that's the whole thing of the church and what it's going to look like, but we're in that, still in that stage of process. But we wanted you to see what phase we're in. And so in no time, by the rate we're going and how it's been over the last month and in this month as well, we'll have our land paid off pretty quick. And so, and once we do that, we are, bring your shovel, because we bury in the devil, and we are building. And so it's going to be a great day. And so you be praying for it. You, if you want to know where that's at, there's a map back there you kind of see. But this morning we want to continue to give, continue to sow. We know God's going to do something great here at Harvest Church. Amen. And so let's, come on, ushers, let's pray over the offering. Father, thank you for everything you've done in our lives. Thank you, God, as you've given to us, Lord, we give a portion back. Our heart is, we love you. And Lord, today, thank you for being a friend to us when we really haven't been a friend at times back, but you still remain faithful. I thank you for that. I pray, God, today that you will bless whatever we give. Let it come back into our life, some fashion, some way. Lord, that we can see the results of our faith. And I thank you, Lord, that people around us can see it and say, yeah, I can give glory to God because of what he's doing through your life. Lord, let us be seed, let us be a witness.